Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that song. Let's stand and read Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 9 as we begin this morning. And boy, just excited. I'm excited for the day to preach. And after being on the sideline for a week, I'm glad to be able to proclaim the Word of God. And then it's also a neat day because it's the first chance I get to go preach at ORW this afternoon and the women's prison. They can't get away from me. Amen. I mean, it's a great, great opportunity to reach people. And I'll tell you a little story about that in a second. But Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. Father in heaven, I surely am grateful and privileged to be able to bow in public, but also in your presence. Lord, thank you for hearing me. Lord, thank you for granting me wisdom. I'm asking for it today. I lack it. I need it. And God, I pray that you'd be with your word. It would not return void. I love the thought that the word is perfect, even though sometimes our interpretation may be off. Thank you for preserving it, providing it, proving it over and over again, and then promising that it would be settled and be lasting for eternity. Lord, I pray that not only in our church today, but other churches would be able to open the Word of God and explain the timeless truths, the eternal truth that you have. And Lord, there's going to come a day when you're going to come get us that know you. And oh, the woes and the wrath of God that will come upon those who don't know you. I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, good stuff, good stuff. The parables in the Bible, I used to always think that parables were written so that earthly people could understand heavenly truths. And there is some truth to being an explanation, God making an illustration. He taught us a lot with the prodigal son and how those things are. And the kingdom of heaven is what he's trying to explain. But I want you to see in verse number 9 to begin, it says, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look on down to verse number 10. I'm just going to read a few more verses here. It says, And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Watch this. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be what? Converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men hath desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. First of all, this is a privileged audience that gets to hear this message. It's a privileged audience. This is not a message to the 5,000 to get saved. It's not a message to the lost world to come and believe on Jesus Christ. This is not the preaching of the gospel. This was the teaching of the kingdom of heaven to those who already had an ear. This is not Sunday morning evangelism. This is more like Sunday night teaching the believer. This is Jesus telling them, if you have an ear, you'll understand this, but there are so many that will not get it. Wait a second. I thought Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did. He is. And if everyone would have made him king, he would have never got to the cross. And so there's some prophecy that had to happen this way so that God could get to where he was going. See, what separated the hearers from the unhearers is the same thing that separates it today. There were those who believed the word of God before Jesus came. And there are those who did not believe the word of God and Jesus came. The ones that believed the word of God were very, very happy to see his day. Turn with me. Go to John real quick, and we'll come right back. I just want to establish this point because it's foundational to understand parables, and I don't want anyone to leave not understanding the parable itself. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 35. Just watch this story. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, behold, what? This is before Jesus did any miracles. John's saying, he's the Lamb of God. Before he went to the cross, John said, the Lamb of God. Before he ever walked on water, John said, the Lamb of God. Ready? Look at verse 37. And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, what? Master. Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the, what? Which is being interpreted the, before a miracle was performed, before a cross was hung on, before a resurrection happened. You follow me? We found the Lamb of God. We found the Messiah. Keep on going. And he brought him to Jesus, verse 42. And Jesus beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, saith unto him, follow me. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did what? They did right. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. We found him. Before a miracle was ever performed, before any of the modern day stories of the proof of Jesus having been anointed by the Holy Ghost, he said, come and see. And when Nathanael came, verse 47, Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Really? Because Jesus knew where he was sitting before he called him? That's all it took for him to believe? Jesus answered and said, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see what? Oh my. Go back to Matthew and follow along this thought now. This was a privileged audience that was getting to hear this parable. These were people that prior already believed in the scriptures and were waiting for the Messiah to come. They didn't get convinced. They were already convinced. They were just now, it was confirmed in their mind. It was as if they knew the Messiah was coming. They were just waiting to who it would be. That's kind of like we are right now. Amen? I believe Jesus is coming. And I wonder if it's this rumor of war or this pandemic or this pestilence or this rejection of Christ or this woke culture or society. I know Jesus is coming. I'm just not sure what the last sign is going to be. I believe he's coming. You don't have to convince me he's coming. I know he's coming. I'm just waiting for the trumpet sound. And so the parable, as we look at it today, is given to those who already have an ear. In other words, if you're going to learn something from Matthew 13, you probably already need to be saved. You need to have an ear that hears what the Spirit saith. Don't have to turn there, but if you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, seven times it says, "Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It's like chapter 2 and 3 are all messages to people who have a spiritual ear that can hear the message to churches. Doesn't that make sense? Why would you give a message to the church to someone who's not saved? He's like, well, they're not the part of the church. They don't really care about that. That'd like telling me about a gathering of international tractor fans, Brother John. You know what I'm saying? I might not want to come to that. You know, that's not for me. I got to tell this story. John said his grandson was a T-ball, and he was on third base getting ready to run home, and all of a sudden a tractor drove by the T-ball field. He stopped midway home and said, "Look, Grandpa, a tractor." Just stop in the middle of the game. There's a tractor. I like that kid. Amen. I like that kid. Don't worry about running home. This is more important. There's a tractor going by. We get distracted. Only those who are looking for that to be distracted. Amen.
Yeah.
See, if you've got an ear to hear, you're a privilege to the message of these parables. There are things that will be taught in Matthew 13 on that deal with the kingdom of heaven that someone who's not a believer probably is not going to understand.
Yeah.
And they said, "Why are you doing this?" Well, in that day, there's a mixed group. Jews that believed and Jews that did not believe. That's what we have in the world today. People who believe in Jesus and people who do not believe in Jesus. We describe it as the lost and the saved.
Yeah.
The found and forgiven. Or the blind and deceived. This parable is for a privileged crowd. As we think about it, look at verse number 17. For verily, back to Matthew 13, if I didn't have you turn back. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and what?
Righteous men
have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Go with me to verse 43 of the same chapter. By the way, the message will be the wheat and the weeds. The message is going to be the wheat and the weeds when we get to it. Look at verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath what? Ears to hear, let him hear. The two parables that we're going to combine together today are both explained by Jesus. And I'm not going to go deeply into the details of each parable, but I just want to show you that they were written for a privileged audience. Jesus told them for those who had ears to hear. Yes, it would explain some truth about saved and unsaved. Yes, it would give some illustration about having some fruitfulness and having some evidence in your life. But really, it's not given to someone who's lost to convince them to be saved. It's given to someone who's saved so they can know what's going on while Jesus is there on earth. Hey, I like this message today. When you got saved and Jesus came in, your eternal destiny was settled. But there's a lot of things that we ought to know that are going on right now before we get to heaven. There's a lot of things we ought to think about, contemplate before we get to our final destination. In fact, if you're not aware of what's going on, you might get sidetracked and you might get off on a detour. I don't know how many times. Oh, it just drives me crazy when I'm driving around the bypass and I forget to get off at Urbana and go on past to Bell Fountain, and there's nowhere to turn around the next 5 miles you drive. And I'm thinking, oh, I still got to where I wanted to go. It just took me a little longer on a detour to get there. Hey, believer, I think that is very, very true. In the case of Scripture, when you got saved, God's destination is set. We'll study about it very in detail in Sunday school hour, and I hope that many of you get this lesson in Sunday school, but there can be some detours that we didn't have to take on the way to get to our destination. In Matthew 13, it's a privileged audience. Verse 9, verse 17, verse 43 all talk about, He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Those aren't physical ears, because you know what? Your ears may not work and you can still hear from God. Physical ears may not work and you can still hear from God. Brother Duke told me that his daughters, it's their vocation in life. But when they were young, he said, one summer, we just had a kids program where we taught sign language to the kids during the summer. I don't know what their program was. He said, my girls just took to it, and they went to a church camp, and there was a little fella there who was deaf, and as soon as they saw him trying to sign, and nobody at the camp knew how to really communicate, it was a Word of Life camp, all of a sudden his daughters went, and the counselors realized that they could talk, and they're like, hey, you stay and talk with him all week, and we'll take care of your camp. And they paid their way to camp and let him go 2 weeks out of the year. Duke said they loved it. It was like a gift from heaven, and I can imagine getting rid of your kids for 2 weeks. It was a gift to Duke as well. Amen. He said that they started setting up a week of camp just so his daughters could be there whenever they had kids that couldn't hear. They would come, and they would sign for them. Well, that turned into going to college and signing for kids at college. And then one of his daughters has signed language interpreted for the governor of New York. Was with a student who went through college and is a scientist. Duke said that his daughters in the official sign language dictionary have made new words to describe scientific words that are just coming about. They have invented the sign to describe that scientific word. Unbelievable. You don't have to have physical ears to hear from God.
Yeah.
You do have to have spiritual ears to grow once you have Jesus in your heart. So, the privileged audience. The primary lesson. I didn't read, but can we look at verse number 24? It gives the second parable in the book of Matthew 13, and it's very similar. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And Jesus explains this parable later on in verse 36 through 43, just like he explained the first parable. The seed in the first parable is the word of God. The sower went forth to sow seed, and the seed was the word of God. And the Bible says that the birds came and ate the seed that fell by the wayside. Jesus would tell us that the birds represent the enemy, the wicked one, the devil. That he would come and take the word out of someone's heart who did not understand it or did not fully get it, and it would be taken away from them immediately. The first parable goes on to talk about seed that fell by the wayside, stony ground, thorn ground, and then good ground. The second parable talks about seed, and the seed sown is the children of God. It's the Son of Man that's the sower. The first one is, I think, anybody who sows the word of God. But in the second one, Jesus is the one that plants those children of his, but the enemy also comes and plants tares. The second one goes on that we don't need to cut out the tares because wait till the harvest and the angels will separate that. In the second parable, the wheat grows right alongside of the tares. And if you would pluck up the tares, you would pluck out some of the wheat, it wouldn't accomplish the purpose. God will decide and will deliver the wheat from the tares and the tares to the furnace and the wheat into his barn.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
The first parable gives a little bit different analogy with this process of growth. And go with me, Matthew 13. I want you to see in verse number 7. And then we'll look at Jesus' description or answer to it. Matthew 13, 7. Some seed, some of the word of God, fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth some 100-fold, 60, and some 30-fold. I've wondered why some of the wheat didn't bring as much as the other wheat. And if you're a farmer and have ever been in fields, you understand that there are different conditions in the same field. There's the rows on the edge and there's the rows on the inner. There's a dips in the ground where water's set, and if it was a dry year, that's a good thing. And if it's a wet year, that's a bad thing. And there's all kinds of conditions. In the same field, you can have clay and rocky ground, and then you can have deep and good ground. In the same field, you can have different elements that they would grow with. And if I spread the fertilizer, some of the field got what it's supposed to, and some of it missed a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I've done that a few times, driving around and get a little sidetracked and can't remember where I'm like, I'll just sow a little extra to make sure it at least grows. And then as it's growing, Dad can look out and say, what were you doing about that spot right there? Oh, Dad, I don't know. Just didn't grow very good there. It can happen. You know, the main reason why the seed did not grow to bring forth the fruit in this one, I believe, is the thorns and the weeds and the thistles and the things that grow up because the curse of the earth choke out so that it cannot bear fruit like it ought to. Look at Jesus' answer. Look at Matthew 13. And so verse 18, he's going to describe and give the answer for the first parable. Hear ye therefore the parable, the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. By the way, Jesus describes that enemy in that second parable as the devil. That's who it is, the wicked one, the enemy. In this one it says that that the wicked one catcheth away. Verse 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is what? Offended. He stops. Verse 22, he that also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh, what's it say? Unfruitful. The fruit in the second parable is just the fact that it comes up. The wheat come up and bear fruit. That's before the harvest in the second parable. Interesting, just trying to look at some of these things. The primary lesson is wheat brings forth yield. The wicked one and the wicked ways stop the yield. And there are also tares sown among the wheat that's not even a wheat. Yeah. And it may look like a wheat. It may act like a wheat until it comes to harvest time and there's no wheat in the head of that plant because it's not the real thing. Interesting. Well, preacher, which one of these are saved? I tell you which one I know saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last one that brought forth 100, 60, and 30-fold. No doubt about that one. Well, which one's a tare? I don't know growing up, but I know when he gathers the others in the barn, which ones were wheat, which ones were tares. Well, preacher, that's a little scary. What if I'm not producing fruit? Why aren't you producing fruit? That'd be a great answer to a question, wouldn't it? Why aren't we producing fruit? Is it because we're tares? Or is it because there's weeds? Or is it because there's stony heart? Or is it because it never even got into the heart in the first place?
Yeah.
I would say that this is for those who are saved to contemplate, not as much as those who are unsaved. Remember, the parable is given to those who has an... That would be all the ones that had an spiritual ear.
Yeah.
They understand it because they've got the ear. And they are the ones that are saved in Luke, as it tells the same parable of the sower and the seed. The primary lesson is not for us to argue and think about which ones are or not. And I've contemplated it, wrestled back and forth, and tried to figure out myself. But I tell you this, I know that the one on the good ground that brought forth 100, 60, and 30-fold, I know that that's good ground and that heard the word and understood it and brought forth what God wanted it to produce. See, this particular point of the parable sometimes will get us in trouble as we're trying to get the message that Jesus is giving. And I believe every word of God is inspired. I believe it's all important. Every verse is for doctrine and instruction. I just know the word of God's right. Sometimes I'm not. Can somebody else say amen to that? God's word's always right. Sometimes I'm not. But I want to preach a particular point of this because I think I've got the right audience. If you're saved, would you say amen? You got the Holy Spirit of God in you. Say amen. You got a hope for Jesus returning. Amen. You're here at 8:15. My goodness, right? It's not an accident. And so the particular point I want to preach is verse 22. Those that became unfruitful. Notice verse 22. He that received seed among the thorns, he that heareth the word, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. It's my estimation that this is someone who has the Lord Jesus, who knows the Lord, who has been fruitful, but something has caused them to become unfruitful. And it's really easy to identify. It's the thorns. It's the cares. In another reading of this in Mark or Luke, it says, it's the pleasures of this world that choke out the word. Becoming unfruitful. There are signs of salvation. It's called fruit. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit gives you the fruit of righteousness, the lips, the fruit of praise on your lips, the fruit of winning someone else to the Lord. I'll say amen to that. There's some great, great signs of fruit. And although I can't identify trees, I can tell you when an orange tree is when I see some oranges on it. And I can tell you an apple tree when I see apples on it. I could even tell you a banana tree if I saw some bananas. I don't know all these other trees, but I can tell when there's fruit on it. It's very, very easy to tell. There are some fruitful Christians, and there are Christians who are unfruitful. The book of Romans today I was reading talked about those that cause division and that serve their own, don't serve the Lord Jesus, but serve their own bellies, serve their own selves. What do you mean? Somebody not serving Jesus? I know that sometimes in my life I haven't served Jesus. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. I just know me. There's times when I serve J-E-R-E-M-Y. S-T-O-U-T. Learned to spell that before I went to school. Amen, right? Fruitful and unfruitful. There's signs of salvation. There's some barriers. Some of the barriers, as it tells us here, the care of this world. And friend, it's so easy to get caught up with what's going on in this world. The Bible even talks about if you're married that you have a care of the world, a spouse. If you're a husband and you have a wife, you have the cares of this world. If you're a wife with a husband, you have the cares of this world. Read it, 1 Corinthians 7. See, ladies, you knew your husband was worldly and wicked. Amen, right there. He's described as a care of the world. Same with a guy and a wife. There's some natural things that take our attention, and it's not necessarily ungodly, but it sure is gets our attention away from just God. I was with Judson while Courtney was shopping. I lost that dude 4 times in a store on Friday. I'm like, where in the world? How does he get away so quick? And why don't they make clothes hangers up high so you can see the little ones hiding? You know what I'm saying? Just going back and forth. I'm like, what? Where'd he go? We're at a graduation party. I was talking to somebody. I turned around. He's gone. I'm like, where'd he go? He went to the car and got his bottle of water out of the car. I'm like, did you go to the car?
Yeah.
You're 3. Stay beside me. I get distracted and he's gone. Now, the cares of the world, I didn't have enough of them. Amen. Courtney said, I can't believe you let him get away. I'm like, don't worry. He took people with him. He's showing them everything, opened up the car, showing them the trunk. I'm like, what? The cares of this world, though, can get our attention off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not only the cares of the world that some of us have to have. Excuse me, but look at verse 22. It says, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, there are some things that riches will deceive us with. Number one, people believe happiness comes with it. Ha!
Yeah, that's right.
Wrong. Why are people in Hollywood killing themselves? They have a lot more money than the rest of us do. That doesn't necessarily equate to happiness. I've met people in third world countries that are happier than those that are in the first world cities. It's a deceit. You think it would, but that's not where happiness comes from. The deceitfulness of riches tells you that one day you'll have enough of it. Ha! That's a lie! You're not going to get to a point where you don't try to make another dollar, make another dime. That's not true. It deceives you. We'll always think one more dime will do it. And it won't, because you'll seek for the next. The deceitfulness of riches tells us that we have to do this, and God knows I have to have it. Really. Now, I know the Bible speaks about money a lot of times, but I don't remember any day that God created money. And on the fourth day, God created money. And it was good. I've never read that verse. I've never found it. I found that the Bible says, for the love of money is the... Now, there's a lot of verses talk about being a good steward, and I think you ought to. Hey, I'm thankful Brother Duke's a good steward. He can go to churches and now be a total blessing and be able to say exactly what he wants and not care about what he says.
Yeah.
We teased about that. He said, you know, that is true. I don't need anything. I can say whatever I want. We ought to say what God wants anyway, amen?
Yeah.
Just teasing a little bit. But I tell you, the deceitfulness of riches gets all of us from time to time. Some of us think that you're not spiritual unless you're good with money. That's not true. That's not true at all. It's those that care for the things of God more than the things of this life that really have true riches figured out. I talked to a fella Friday night, and he told me that he prays, and we were just talking, and I said, man, I figured it out. If heaven's real, I'm going to buy it while it's cheap. I'm going to invest in it while no one else cares about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy as many shares in heaven as I can because I know it's going to the moon one of these days.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
He said, you got my attention. I invest in cryptocurrency. I'm like, not a good month for you. And he laughed and we left. He said, you got my attention right there. He's good with money. Maybe not real spiritual yet, but he's good with money. Or at least before last month. He understood, wow, buy it while it's cheap. Hey, if we're going to heaven, I think I ought to lay up treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves don't break through or steal. I would say that would be the fruit that's going to last rather than something that's going to wither and fail. Listen, in verse 22, there were those that became unfruitful. That means they were fruitful. They were producing for the Lord. And if it's a tree or a perennial, it's a constant thing. I know wheat has a growing season, you harvest, it's done. But listen, the evidence here is the Bible says they became unfruitful. Wow. Thorns are a curse from the sin. And I found this, that when it's good growing condition, I can grow a yard like no other than the month of May. I'll tell you that. I mean, my grass just grows like no other. So do the dandelions, amen. You know, I just grow it all. It looks so green. You know why? Because it's warm, it's wet, and it's good conditions for grass to grow. Sometimes my grass grows in places I don't want it to grow. I don't want it to grow around that hosta. I don't want it to grow around that flower. I want you to grow out there in the yard, buddy, not there in the flower garden. Why are you growing there? I'll tell you this. Because when the environment is good to grow, it's good for weeds to grow too. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I believe that we are in a church that's been growing. From the very start, God is blessed. But can I tell you this? When a church grows, it's also great condition for weeds to grow too. Weeds grow just as good as the wheat grows when the conditions are right. Oh, my friend, this is a simple truth. The Bible tells us the water is the word, and the growing season grows both weeds and unwanted, and wheat that is wanted. And I have found that it takes more effort to pull the weeds than it does to grow the wheat. It takes more effort and more intention to pull the weeds than it does to watch the wheat grow. You plant the wheat and it starts, and you don't really have to touch it, but man, you got to touch those weeds all around it. I had a hoe, and I knew it by name when I was a kid growing up on a farm. And my mom and dad would tell me, now don't be careful when you're hoeing in the row. Don't hoe the plant, and don't hoe somebody else's hoe, or they're going to be back with you next year at the same time, same spot. I tried to hoe everybody's hoe every time to make that happen. But I'd go through, and we would weed out the grass in the middle. But you know, you only did that in June. You only did that in the early season, because once the plant got big enough, then you didn't have to weed out that little grass because it was strong enough to overwhelm it and take care of it. Boy, I see this truth. When you're first saved, those weeds are very important to get out immediately.
Amen.
Not that we should let them grow anytime, because they can choke out the plant. I saw a tree in the woods yesterday. I was moving some brush out of the way, and I thought, is that tree alive or not? It looks like there's leaves all around it. No, it was the vines choking out the tree that put some leaves. The tree itself was already dead. And it looked like it was living because of the things that choked it out and grew all around. And I thought, man, isn't that an illustration? It looks like it's alive, but it's just the weeds that are growing around it. You know, Christian, have you become unfruitful in your Christian life? Well, I'm in a good church. It's growing. Are you personally being fruitful in your own life? Well, there's plenty of things going on. I don't have to. Are you individual that's been planted by God to produce fruit, have you become unfruitful? How do you get fruitful? Number one, you got to attend. You got to be there. You're not going to bear any fruit if you're not planted in the field. The seed that never got planted never brought any fruit. It fell by the wayside. There were those who were planted by the Lord Jesus Christ in the second parable. If you're saved, can I tell you, you've been planted by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk theology and argue philosophy, but let's just get the facts of the matter. If you're breathing and God's in you, you are to produce fruit. God planted you here, and He's got you here for a purpose. Attention needs to be given if you're going to be fruitful. Yes, you got to look. After we caught up on some yard work, and weed-eated and mowed and got rid of some, I saw that there was some grass blades picking through the weeds. And me and Judson, I said, don't pick the big leaves. That's the flower. Let's get those little ones and pull out that grass so that flower can grow better. It took attention. Just because you're in the service doesn't mean you're giving God your attention. You can have your phone out. You can have your ears off. You can have your mind in some other place. Just because you're attending don't mean your attention's given to God Almighty. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, preacher, if you'd be more interesting. I know, I'm trying. There needs to be some action. Boy, I've seen weeds and I've just watched them. And I thought, boy, somebody needs to pull those weeds out. And I've watched them. But if you get them little, it's a lot easier than when you get them big. Those sticker ones, if you get them small, they don't prick your finger like they do when they get big. And then finally, the award. And this is a real big point. What's the award for the plant that produces fruit? Look at verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And the seed just ate all the fruit for himself. Is that what it says? I'm being very sarcastic. Does any tree eat the fruit it brings forth? The orange tree's not like, I can't wait till I get to eat my own fruit off the tree. The tree doesn't grow from its own fruit. It's trying to reproduce so that more trees can grow. You know what some Christians do? They live this Christian life for all they get. They're trying to live and get fruit from their faith for what pleases them and what pleasure they enjoy. What a falsehood. Who are you producing fruit for? Yourself? No, we're trying to produce fruit so the Lord Jesus will come get the harvest. It should be the most selfless attitude. The award should not be for us. It should be for Him. I'm not trying to be a good Christian so I enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy eternal life whether I serve him or not. I want to produce something for Jesus. Why should you serve? Not for your own benefit, you carnal Christian. It has nothing to do with you if you're really doing it for the right reason. Wow. You know, it's that selfish pleasure seeking that probably is the first sign of your becoming unfruitful. Real quiet on that point. Well, I just really don't like to do it. I know. I don't like to serve people all the time. I don't like to follow and sacrifice my... I've never met any lamb that said, I can't wait to be a sacrifice and burn on the altar for God. Where's the fire? I got some really warm wool that I want to burn off right here. But you know what happens? When we get it right, we become ripe. We're being harvested by the Lord Jesus for his benefit, not for ours. I believe Romans 12 says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Oh, but preacher, I mean, I know. It's the pleasures of this world. It's the deceitfulness of earthly, worldly riches. It's the care of this world that choke out so that the seed doesn't produce how much it could produce for who it should be producing for.
Yeah,
I think this message is for saved people. Hey, sinner, you need to serve God and do something for him. Huh? What? I don't even know if I believe in him. Yeah, you need to give your life for him. Give my life? Why would I do that? It makes absolutely no sense. But you know, a believer who says, hey, I got saved. All my sins are forgiven. You ought to give your life. Wow, you're right, man. I ought to give my life back to God. He gave me my life. Hannah, you've been praying for a baby boy. I'll give that boy back to God. If God, you give me a son, I'll give him to you. Amazing. That's the parable for the audience who's prepared to hear it. Are you being fruitful? Oh, I hope we all do. And I hope it's not something for me or you. I hope it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all say amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the price that you paid. Lord, if I have only one reason to worship you, it's because you already gave me so much. You forgave me of all my sin. You've given me all of your Son. I have your Holy Spirit until it's done. Lord, I pray that I could be fruitful. Help me to pull out the weeds and let the wheat grow. Become a harvest that you would get the benefit from. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us, those that have ears to hear. Holy Spirit, if there's someone here that's not saved, I'm sure asking that you would woo them and convince them that they could be converted. Lord, they could come and call upon the Lord Jesus to be their Savior, to be saved from a devil's hell. And then those of us that have been privileged to have already seen and heard the message of the gospel, praise his holy name, thank you for saving us. As the piano begins to play, an invitation will be given. How about you? Are you living this life for what you produce? Chapter 13, thank you for the songs, thank you choir, and thank you church for singing. Matthew chapter 13, we'll read verses 1 through 9 to get started. And thank you, Brother Brian Hall, get me a water. Amen. I like it. As my wife, yes. I tell you, I live in heaven already. Amen. If you were in Sunday school, you get that joke. But Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9. And I appreciate Brother Brian Pennington. Brian usually leads singing. He has had that sickness where he lost his voice. I told him he lost it when he got married. But, just teasing. But he'll be back soon, and he was here this morning, just not quite singing up to par. So Matthew chapter 13, verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Would you read verse 9 with me? Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's be seated. We'll pray at this moment. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I pray that, Lord, you give me wisdom to be able to teach it